And it's quite a challenging case, my gosh. Very, very challenging to provide some. Now, of course, I have the advantage of where everyone else being the first speaker, so that anything I say is going to be profound. So I'm glad to be the first speaker, though. Okay, so here's a woman that is, I have some notes here that I'm kind of keep off of. Here's a woman using religious beliefs to cope. Religious beliefs to cope with her cancer. To explain why she has cancer. And so she is alright to cope with the pain the way she wants to. And in this particular case, she wishes to suffer the pain without relief. And that's different, though, the way the doctors and nurses are looking at things. They want to relieve her pain. They are distressed because she's suffering with pain. But she is reluctant to take pain medication. I guess kind of the bottom line here is that you've got two different paradigms. One is the physician's, the nurse's paradigm, and the other is the patient's paradigm. And it's probably even different than the chaplain's paradigm. The patient is on the "Do you know Jesus?" paradigm. That's her paradigm. And that's really the paradigm I think you need to deal with her on. She believes that she is paying for her sins. Now, okay, she's paying for her sins. But within her theology, now you have to explore that a little bit more, within her theology, does she believe that, it sounds like she's Christian, does she believe that she was saved by grace? That's something you want to explore a little bit with her. And that somebody else has already paid for her sins. And that for some Christian traditions, that's the core of what it's all about. It's the gospel. But maybe, you know, we're not sure, so we need more information. Now, the pastor is the authority in her paradigm. So I'd like to ask him a little bit about, what are the beliefs that members of the church espouse, and then maybe meet with her and him, and maybe find out whether she really understands what the people in her church and her faith tradition believe about Jesus. Now, she isn't a church member, so that's a little bit that's a little different. You know, it's a little twist to things. You know, maybe the pastor isn't the authority. Maybe she's on her own paradigm, which might be kind of driven by guilt or by psychological issues that might be underlying things. Also interesting that, in the story, it was 6 days after the blessing. She was blessed by the Holy Spirit in church. Blessed her 6 days. So why did she see it as a blessing? Why did she see it as a blessing? I was kind of wondering. You know, a blessing to have cancer, diagnosed with a late-stage cancer? Maybe I was thinking maybe it's an opportunity to pay for her sins before her death. Maybe she's got, maybe that's why she's not taking pain medications. And maybe that's why she's inconsistent with complying to the treatments. So that's just, that was a thought. So one of the things, I'd like to know a little bit more. I'd like to explore a little bit more the psychological issues and also her religious beliefs, as I said earlier. And I'd also like to know whether or not there's any faith healing going on in the church she's going to. Is there any faith healing going on? and in which case she might then be motivated to try to prove her faith by perhaps not taking pain medications, not being compliant with the chemotherapy or radiation therapy, that God can heal regardless of any of these medical treatments. So I think I would communicate in her own paradigm with her. That's how I would do it. I would try to speak to her. Now, you know, that might be hard for some physicians who are not familiar with her paradigm. But I try to talk to her about that in a way that, you know, I guess I wouldn't so much buck at not taking the pain medication, because I can see, you know, as a psychiatrist, especially, I see people overdoing the pain medication with all the side effects, etc. And, you know, she is enduring the pain for religious reasons. I mean, maybe a little bit distorted religious reasons. But nevertheless, she's enduring it. But the receiving of the treatment, that's the one that I would probably try to work on. You know, the receiving of the chemotherapy, radiation therapy, because that's going to save her life or not. Now, there's only a 30% chance that it's going to cure her, but it could extend her. So I would kind of say, hey, you know, if you take this chemotherapy, it's going to enable you to live longer. You know, kind of a combination maybe with praying. If you're praying, you know, it's terrific. That's going to help. You know, it's like synergistic, this prayer and this chemotherapy and this radiation therapy. And in fact, if, you know, if you live longer, then, you know, you mentioned earlier that God was preparing you for something. Well, you know, maybe he's preparing you for your ministry to others. Maybe to tell others about Jesus in your life. Maybe that's what he's preparing you for, this, and providing opportunities to do that. And maybe even being an advocate for women with cervical cancer, or perhaps those who are taking drugs, who are dependent and addicted to those. And so, you know, that would be reasonable, I think, that you might be able to convince her to at least take the treatment and to be compliant with it. So that's kind of all I really have to say. And again, the bottom line is that there's two paradigms going on here. And the doctors, nurses are on one paradigm, they don't seem to be able to enter into her paradigm. And if you can enter into that, I think you could make some progress.